Remarks of the President, Wheeling, West Virginia, 23 October 1952.
Being here, I tell you. You know, Senator Kilgore told me that this is the first time a president of the United States ever paid an official visit to Wheeling, West Virginia. But I want to say to you, it's by no means the first time a president has been here. Old Andrew Jackson used to put his stagecoach on the boat on the Ohio River at Louisville. He'd always unload it here at Wheeling and drive down the National Road to Washington while he was president. Take him exactly 30 days to make that trip. I've made that trip in 2 hours. So you see how much the country's moved up, and that's what's going on all around the world. That's the reason I'm out here trying to tell you the facts. It's always a pleasure to me to come to West Virginia, because this is a real democratic state. There's no doubt in my mind about the policies and how you feel toward the policies of the New Deal and the Fair Deal. You've always been for them. The only way the Democratic Party could possibly lose West Virginia would be if you folks did not go to the polls and vote on election day. There's not much time left in this campaign, and I urge you to get together with your friends and neighbors and turn out a big vote so we can preserve the gains we have made in the last 20 years and go forward to even greater achievements. I urge you to vote for the men who are going to carry on the gallant traditions of the Democratic Party, Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman. They stand for continuing the great programs that have brought prosperity and security to our people. They stand for equal rights for all Americans and for cooperation with other nations. And I want to say that you voters in West Virginia have a very special responsibility to return Harley Kilgore to the United States Senate. Harley Kilgore stood shoulder to shoulder with Franklin Roosevelt. He has stood shoulder to shoulder with me in our fight to improve the welfare of the average man. We need more men like Harley Kilgore in the Senate of the United States, and I wish we had more of them. I think very highly of Harley. He's one of the best men that ever I've been associated with in public life, and that's saying everything I can say about him. I hope you'll send Bob Monahan as a part of a solid Democratic delegation to the House of Representatives. And I hope you'll elect Bill Marlin as governor of this great state of West Virginia. In this Ohio Valley, this steel and coal region, labor has made some of the greatest gains in the past 20 years. And it is here that labor has had some of the toughest fights with those who sought to kill the labor movement, those who sought to destroy the organization that have done so much for the welfare of the working man. So this morning, I want to talk to you briefly about the importance to labor of a Democratic victory on November the 4th. In my whistle-stop speeches on this campaign, I've been pointing out that the Republican candidate's train carries a slogan. It said, "Look ahead, neighbor." I've been saying that that slogan ought to be, "Look out, neighbor." A lot of people did not seem to realize what a return to reactionary Republican rule would mean in this country. They did not seem to realize that it meant the difference between going forward and going backward, that it means the difference between war and peace, I think people realize these things much better than they did a month ago. They have a better understanding of what is really at stake. That's why a swing to Stevenson has set in all over the country among the voters who've been leaning Republican. And I hope that I have performed some small service in helping to bring that swing about among the people who had better look out if the Republicans win this election are the working men and women of America. It wasn't so long ago that the big industrialists of America had all the power of government on their side in holding down the working man. The employers could go to the courts and get anti-labor injunctions. They could use their labor spies and private armies and strikebreakers to keep the working man in his place. The Democratic Party stopped all that. But all of you should go back once in a while and read the reports of the La Follette Subcommittee of the United States Senate that investigated these crimes against labor. We've come so far in 20 years in establishing and guaranteeing the rights of labor. We have almost forgotten about the long and bloody battles labor has had in the past. We can't afford to forget these things. Many employers have discovered that their labor unions are a good thing, and they will support them wholeheartedly. But there are still men who hate labor unions and would like to destroy them. These men still exist, and they exist in great number. And I have no hesitation in telling you where they are politically. They are a powerful group within the Republican Party. You had a taste of their attitude when the Republicans got control in the 1947 of the Congress. That was the first time they had obtained control of the legislative branch of the government since 1932. And one of their first thoughts was to put what they called put labor in its place. They passed the bitter, vindictive Anti-Labor Act, the Taft-Hartley Law, that wiped out much of the gains labor had made under the Wagner Act and stopped the formation of unions in many places. The Taft-Hartley Act can wreck the American labor movement. That's not just my statement. That's a statement from Business Week magazine, which I don't think is on my side in this fight. Here was an employer's magazine explaining to its readers how the Taft-Hartley Act could be used against labor. Let me read you a few paragraphs from the article, and I quote, "Given a few million unemployed in America," now they weren't unemployed, it says, "given a few million unemployed in America, given an administration in Washington that's not pro-labor, and the Taft-Hartley Act conceivably could wreck the labor movement. These are the provisions that could do it." I'm still reading from this Business Week magazine. One, picketing can be restrained by injunction. Two, employers can petition for a collective bargaining election. Three, strikers can be held ineligible to vote, while the strike replacements cast the only ballots. And four, the outcome of this is a no union vote, and the government must certify and enforce it. Anytime there is a surplus labor pool from which an employer can hire at least token strike replacements, these four positions linked together presumably can destroy a union. Now that's the end of the quote from Business Week. There you have a statement of the way the Taft-Hartley Act can be used to wreck unions. All it takes is a few million unemployed and an administration that is anti-labor. And does anybody wonder which party would be for that? I dread to think what would happen to the labor movement if the Republican Party were returned to power. Now you better look out, neighbor. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get into position so they can pulverize the labor union. Don't think for a minute that the men who wrote the Taft-Hartley Act didn't know what they were doing. That law was the great achievement of the Republican 80th Congress. And Senator Taft, its principal author, would be the most powerful man in another Republican Congress. Don't forget that. He would, in fact, be the chairman of the Senate Committee on Labor and Public Welfare. And in that role, the most powerful man in the country on labor matters. I say to you again, my friends, you better look out, neighbor. You better look out. Something's coming to you if you're foolish enough to send the Republicans to Washington in charge of the government. Now, if you want to know what the Republicans are thinking about the future of labor, you can learn a lot from the Wall Street Journal. On May 26th of this year, it ran a very revealing article. It said, and I quote, now this is from the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal's never been on the side of the Democrats since it's been running. If the Republicans hold their own or gain new strength in the House of Representatives, it is almost certain that there will be a new effort to crack down on the union. And if the GOP controls Congress by a comfortable margin, the effort will probably succeed. That's the end of the quotation from the Wall Street Journal. One of the things the Republicans are talking about, according to this article, is to ban industry-wide bargaining. That was one of the provisions of the original Hartley Bill of 1947. It was dropped out in the final version of the Taft-Hartley Law, but it has not been forgotten. That original Hartley Bill had a lot of other ingenious anti-labor provisions, including additional injunction proceedings against labor and a prohibition of welfare funds like the one which the coal companies and the United Mine Workers have set up. Now, I can't understand why anybody would want to destroy a great welfare program like that being carried out in the coal industry. But I can understand why an anti-labor union employer would like to prohibit industry-wide bargaining. That would put labor at a big disadvantage in bargaining with powerful employers. The congressman who made the concluding argument on the floor of the House of Representatives in favor of the Hartley Bill, now listen to this, in 1947, was a young man who showed real promise as a leader in the battle against labor. His name is Nixon, and he's from California. He lived up to that promise so well that he was promoted this summer to run for vice president on the Republican ticket. Now again, I say to you, you better look out, neighbor. Now, the Republican candidate for president does not have much of a record on labor questions, but he picked one of the most anti-labor men in Congress to be his running mate. And he said that if he had been president this year, he would have tried to get an injunction in the steel case. He would have applied this useless and unfair procedure without regard to the merits of the dispute. Again, I say to you, you better look out if you get that man in the White House. You can expect some sweet words about labor from the Republican candidates between now and Election Day. Every 4 years, the Republicans tell you how much they love the American labor movement. They whisper sweet nothings, and that's the right term for it, because they have nothing in their record to back up their sweet words. Now, the Democratic Party is the tried and trusted friend of the working men and women of this country. It is the friend of the people who need to help assure them an even break in dealing with the strong and the powerful. I've been going around this country since September the 27th for the purpose of getting people to think. I'm trying to awaken them to their own interests in this campaign. I think this is the most important presidential election since the Civil War, because your interest is at stake. The interest of this great republic is at stake, and the welfare of the free world is at stake. If you just read the record and do a little thinking, you can do but one thing, and that's to go to the polls on November the 4th and send Adlai Stevenson to the White House, and you'll have 4 more years of good government.
Mr. President,